In wrapping up the G20, the Prime Minister described Australia as a high performer when it comes to taking real action on climate change. And nevertheless, he was still spruiking the benefits of coal, particularly the benefits for the 1.3 billion people around the globe who don't have access currently to electricity.
We've got to give them access to electricity, and coal is going to be an important part of that. For decades to come, coal is going to be an important part of that for decades to come. I welcome the agreement that President Obama and President Xi made, but my reading of that agreement is that 80% of China's power needs in 2030 will be provided by coal.
Prime Minister Tony Abbott standing up for coal and commenting on last week's agreement between the US and China to reduce their emissions by 2030. And Tony Abbott isn't the only one questioning China's commitment made at that meeting with Barack Obama. Last week, as we played for you here on Breakfast, the Republican leader in the Senate in the US, Mitch McConnell, said that the agreement allows China to get away with doing nothing, was the quote, for 16 years. Professor John Matthews from Macquarie University is an expert on China's renewable sector. He's about to release a new book on how renewables are driving economic growth in Asia. John Matthews, welcome to Breakfast.
Thank you for having me, Fran.
John, if I can start with the Prime Minister's comments we just heard. 80% of China's energy in 2030, by his reading on it, will be supplied still by coal. Doesn't sound like a great commitment to reduce emissions, is he right?
Well, I would have to say, Fran, that I think maybe the Prime Minister is referring to the current situation in China, where, admittedly, coal is a very, very large source of their energy needs. But clearly, this agreement is going to change the situation quite dramatically. China is going to make an enormous investment in renewables over the next 10 and 15 years. And so, by the end of the agreement period, by 2030, it certainly won't be the situation Minister was describing.
Can I just clarify something there, John Matthews, because I think the Prime Minister was picking up on the statement from Xi Jinping last week that by 2030, 20% of China's energy will be coming from zero-emission fuel. Doesn't that equate to the other 80% coming from coal?
No, it doesn't. That 20% is referring to enlarging and, in fact, doubling the scale of renewable energy sourcing of China's energy systems. And what we see in to produce that will be China actually doubling its commitment to renewables just in the next 15 years. Now, the US White House put out a sense of what that will entail. They said that that would mean China building 1,000 gigawatts of renewable energy between now and 2030. That would be larger than what China is already doing in terms of burning coal. A larger system by 2030.
So just to be clear here, and I'm sorry to get bogged down in statistics, because clearly what you're saying is China is making a massive a pledge to increase renewable energy production. But the 20%, 80%, even if it doubles its renewable energy capacity, what proportion of its power into the future beyond 2020, or at 2030 rather, will be coal-fired? Do we know that?
Well, we don't know exactly. The point is you've got to look at the total energy system, which is what their agreement with the United States was all about, doubling from 10% to 20%. But the real change is going to occur in the electric power system, and that's where this investment in 1,000 gigawatts of new renewable and clean energy systems will make all the difference. Have to think about it in terms of China building over a 1.3 gigawatt power station every week for the next 15 years. But it's not coal burning, it's going to be renewable energy.
That's primarily wind and solar?
Primarily wind and solar. Of course, China is also building nuclear, but since the Fukushima disaster in Japan, China is going softer on nuclear and putting more and more emphasis on wind and solar, so that they now outrank any source of investment in energy systems at the moment.
And this is happening here and now. I think according to a piece you've written for the Conversation website this morning, you're essentially saying China is doing this already. And this was one concern that people had from the pledge from Xi Jinping last week, was that he's promising what is already happening. Is that true, or does this pledge involve an increase in activity and commitment?
This pledge, Fran, involves a symbolic commitment from China to the world that it is moving in this direction. You see, China has this enormous energy system that underpins its enormous manufacturing system. And just like us in the West, we grew wealthy by burning fossil fuels. So China has been burning fossil fuels. But China understands that by keeping to that kind of trajectory, it will be increasing its dependence on sources of fossil fuels that cannot be guaranteed in the future. So in terms of enhancing its energy security and its energy independence, it's swinging behind renewables in a very, very large way. And that's what this commitment underpins. It consolidates a trend that is already there. It makes the trend that is already there more credible.
It's 11 minutes to 9. Our guest is Professor John Matthews from Macquarie University. So what you're saying, I think, Professor, is that the political will, as expressed by Xi Jinping, to move faster towards renewable energy is actually driven as much or if not more by energy security concerns rather than the climate change.
That's right. That's exactly right, Fran. We jump to the point that China is doing these things for climate change reasons. Now, of course, climate change is very important in China's calculations, but fundamentally, it's doing this to ensure its energy security in the future. Think about the world of energy from China's perspective. You have oil coming from the Middle East with all the terror and revolution associated with that. You have coal coming from troubled parts of the world. They want to reduce their dependence on stuff that you dig out of the ground and put it more on things that you can manufacture, wind turbines, solar photovoltaic cells. These are things that China can control, that they can manufacture for themselves.
So that adds to their economy too.
It adds to their economy. You see, what also gives these commitments from China greater credibility is that they're making these commitments not just in a rhetorical sense, but as part of their industrial strategy. You see, they have five-year plans. They have their 12th five-year plan at the moment, under which they have seven strategic industries. Well, three of those industries are green technology industries, electric vehicles, renewable energies, energy efficiency. So China sees renewables in terms of their energy security, also in terms of their exports to the world. And that makes their commitment to renewables that much more credible.
But it's true to say, too, China is still very dependent on coal and is still planning to burn an awful lot of coal between now and 2030. In fact, Xi Jinping, his pledge is only to use peak coal or peak carbon by 2030, which feeds into what the Prime Minister was saying in his reality check yesterday when he said he's standing up for coal. 1.3 billion people on the planet had no access to electricity, and, quote, coal is going to be an important part of that. That's as true for China as it is for other parts.
And it's certainly true. Looking to the past, China has been heavily dependent on coal, just as the countries of the West were in the way that we all industrialized. But China is doing more to enhance its renewable energy system, that is to green its economy, than any previous industrializing power. And the scale of that commitment is just vast. That's why this agreement last week is so important. If you compare what China is already doing with renewables, you know, a huge renewable energy system, far larger than any other in the world at the moment, dwarfs Australia's total power system. See, we have 25 gigawatts of power in this country. China has already over 350 gigawatts of renewable power. Now, what could we do in Australia to match what China is doing? Well, how could we generate 25 gigawatts of power from renewable sources? Fran, it would be so easy in this country.
How?
We have all of the sun. We have all of this wind. We have such a country blessed with renewable sources. Why are we still burning coal and importing oil for our energy needs when we can produce it all from the renewable energies that we are blessed with in this country?
Well, I think the answer to that is we have those reserves, but we also have, and it's been spoken of before, the renewable energy know-how. Last week I just met a former professor here from China who's now in China developing solar cells that we're importing back to here. Are you saying there's an economic imperative that Australia is missing, that we could be making money out of generating our own renewable technology?
We could be making money generating our own renewable technology, and above all, we could be developing the technologies for the future and selling, instead of selling coal to China and iron ore, we could be selling renewable energy technology. Think about artificial photosynthesis. Here's a wonderful energy technology for the future. We're already doing some R&D work. CSIRO is doing work on artificial photosynthesis, where you generate energy from the sun and from the air and from water.
John Matthews, thank you so much for joining us. Professor John Matthews from Macquarie University, and his book Greening of Capitalism is being published soon by Stanford University Press later this month.